Another day of worship, Lord, to come on this resurrection day, the first day of the week, the Lord's day, just to fellowship and worship you, and Father, to sit at your feet and learn of you. And even as the world keep on turning and revolving around the sun as well, the sunrise, the sunset, the moon rises, and the moon set. But Lord, life goes on. And with life, Father, it goes on. We know there are trials and temptation and sorrows and pain and distresses in the world. And we know, Father, according to thy word, the world is not getting any better, it's only getting worse, O Lord. And we ask, O Lord, that your children around the world and here today, O Lord, gather before you. We know, Lord, you're always mindful of us. But we ask of your grace and your mercy, O Lord, to continue, O Lord, to be with us. For thou art the God of the day, even as thou art the Lord of the night. Yeah, Lord, when we are down in the valley, and trial and temptations, O Lord, our sorrows and pain, and whatever passes on into our life, Father, from this world of sin that we are traveling on, and on this pilgrimage, O Lord, we suffer too, Lord. For Lord, while we walk on this earth and this world, the rain fall upon the just and unjust, Lord, and yet we have no escape from those things. But it is of thy grace, O Lord, that you will see us through. Because we hold on to thy promise, Lord, that thou art with us until the end of the world system, Father, when Christ will come and set up his rule and his kingdom. So, Lord, we ask for your grace right now, Lord, that you bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we sit at your feet to learn. And we pray that, Lord, you bless all saints, O Lord, that gather around the world. We know, Father, there is a time and a purpose for everything, and we know that, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose to be done, as our Lord told us to pray that your will be done. Yes, Lord. And our Father, Lord, we give you the glory now and ask that, Lord, you bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Run your Lord. Amen. You may be seated. All right, to the book of Acts again, chapter 5. We are in the middle of in verse 13-14, all we'll talk about to say it is the case of Ananias and Sapphira, and how God dealt with his children in the beginning of the church. Remember this. It is all about the acts of the Holy Spirit working in the early church, but through the apostolic ministry to establish a strong foundation for the church. And when God started doing something, He always make it firm and put all the example so that the rest of the generation that would come later would follow those examples and consider the seriousness of God's plan and purpose in the church, and also His will, how He will carry it out. So when we see how that the apostles, especially through Peter and John at that time, dealt with the case of Ananias and Sapphira, and as I said, it is not that Peter passed the judgment on them. It was God. You understand that? And then after that, when this thing was performed, man began to fear the Lord, God. He became to come to the place where they began to reverence God Himself more and fear Him. And then many signs of wonder were done by the hands of the apostles. Alright. It's so much so that as we study, as we closed last week, how that those men who think that they have a strong standing in stature or with the apostles. Now the apostles were ordinary people, Peter and John, they were fishermen. But then God gave them this skill. And the believer looked up to them. 120, they came in, the 3,000 later on they came in. And later all together, they were told about 5,000 believers or converts to the truth. So those hundreds and hundreds of believers, they saw what was being performed, what was done by God through the apostle. They recognized that this man was to be respected. And those men who think that they have some position in the church, especially those rich ones, or some religious Pharisees, or religious people, they were converted from Phariseeism or whatever, or Sadduceeism, into the gospel. They think that they might, because of their education, wanted to be equal with the apostles. But when they saw what was being done by the apostles, they do not join, they cannot consider themselves equal with them. And now, so we see today we have, in this generation, or last generation, that or century, I would say, that we see when God sent Brother Branham with the kind of gift. And, during the time of Brother Branham was on, there were also others. People like J. Osborne, Jack Cohen, Oral Roberts, Morris Oriel, and many others that came around. They all had this gift of healing as well. But in those days, I do not hear any report of any of these men that can compare themselves to Brother Branham. And it is even well known to say that if you put William Branham on one side of the scale, and you put 7 or 10 of the ministers on the other side of the scale, they can't even tip the scale. Because how God used William Branham, the signs of wonder. But what was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of God doing these great miracles of wonder in the life of Peter and John? But the Bible never mentioned much about the other apostles. But we know that they did miracles and wonders. But what was the purpose of it? Because this was the beginning of the church, because there are a lot of things that were not yet taught. A lot of truth that were not yet revealed. Peter preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. pointing the people to Christ, to who Christ really is. That He is the one, He was telling them, that you put to death. He is the very one that is to be your Messiah, who was your Messiah. And you killed Him. He preached so strong, and with signs following, many were converted to the gospel. So God has to establish, God has to show something. And signs of wonder are always an attraction. And you know, well, Jesus said that the Jews look for signs. But the Greek, they look for wisdom. But is it really true today now? Look at what's happening today. God had some word of Abraham to draw the people with a sign. But what did Abraham said about those signs? Huh? It's to call your attention. To listen to the word. You see? He had three signs. Or three pool. The first, holding the hand and discerning the disease in a person. Secondly, discerning the man's secrets of man's heart. But the third, who is speaking of the word. But you see, today everybody talk about the signs, problem, the vindication, God, man, did this, and who are you? Not knowing that Brother Abraham called us to go back to the word. And we look at a book of Acts, and we can see exactly the example of what's happening. God used Peter and John and the apostles. But over the period of years, by this time here now, when we read about this, it's about 3 years or past already. And then by the time Paul came around and tried to, you know, go and arrest this believer, and Christ confronted him, met him on the road to Damascus, and gave the grace to Paul. And then why did God use Paul? Because God knew the end from the beginning. See what was going to happen to the apostle. And you know one thing? That's the reason God never used Peter, James, and John so much as far as the deeper revelation of God's word is concerned. Because there was so much caught up with, you know, the Jewish tradition. And that's why Peter played a hypocrite. He knew that you could eat with the Gentiles. But people in Jerusalem, the church started in Jerusalem. The pastor at that time was Mount James, the brother of Jesus. You don't eat with the Jew. I mean with the Gentiles. So Peter was, you know, he was in the dilemma. When he with the Gentiles, when they see the elders coming down from Jerusalem, he put himself away. So much Barnabas was also caught up in the hypocrisy, wondering what's going on. And Paul came around and rebuked him. And look at number of epistles that Paul wrote. 13, 40 epistles. Peter wrote only three. And the rest of the apostle, how many? You see. So you understand, the thing is this, is that we should not just look at signs and wonders. And even like Abraham said, you don't major the minor. And signs and wonder are not the major thing. They're only cutting your attention. And that's what God doesn't always do. Signs and miracles. There are people always want signs and miracles. God don't always do that. Because when you see signs and wonder, what does it do to you? Does it give you faith? Oh yes, because I see, therefore I have faith. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe. They believe. Father, bless them. They believe the word that the apostle teaches.
But you see, people are looking at the signs. You see, now for Abraham, this hell upon the head. See, that's the sign. So we listen only to this man, nobody else.
Well, they should listen to Peter and not listen to Paul. I shall mean, Paul said, they don't want me, Lord. And God said, well, I send it to the Gentiles now. Let Peter walk among the Jews and you walk among the Gentiles. And look at the tremendous revelation that God gave to Paul. So that the church can understand the plan and the purpose of God. What God was doing in the past and is doing now and what He will be doing in the future. You know. And because of Christ's grace for John, the beloved, being the youngest, he was the last to die. And give him the final revelation. Hope you read the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know. So, let our minds be focused on the Word of God. We cannot compare, like ministers are trying to compare one another. You cannot compare. You cannot compare Peter to Paul. For his ministry, Peter has ministry. You cannot compare John to Peter, or Bartholomew, or Thomas to Peter. Look, who is better? Peter or Bartholomew, or Thomas? Thomas then got out of his comfort zone of Judea, Jerusalem, and sail over to India. Huh? India! A continent of people that he is not familiar with. Think about it. A language perhaps he doesn't even know and he had to learn. He went to India and where did he die? He died in Madras. He died a martyr. Think about it. That is why I was saying those who are missionary to go to another land that is a strange land. The food that they eat is not the food that you eat in your homeland. You have to get used to it. You have to learn a new language. You know. Well, you know, the brethren over in the Philippines said, "Brother, you have been to the Philippines for so many years now. How come you do not know how to speak Tagalog?" So I said, "I don't stay there. You know what I mean? I only go there and, you know, help build the church. If I stay there, then I have to. If I'm a missionary to that nation and stay there and live there, yes, then I have to learn the language." You see. And that will have to be God's dealing with the person. And what God did to Brother Israel, who came all the way from Cameroon, Singapore, he went up there to Indochina, I mean to Thailand, end up in Cambodia. Because God told him to come over this way. He ended up in Cambodia. And now he and his wife is a missionary there in Cambodia. And he learns, he had to learn the Khmer language. You understand that? Alright, let's go now to verse 14. Now, and let us recap from there. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitude both of men and women. Acts 5:15. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that they, at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the city, round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now here we have Peter going around, you know, practically almost every day, I would say, because this was the beginning of church. The apostles, they were kept busy by the Lord, and they went around marketplace, a temple area, you know, whatever they could, and they preached. And when news got around that these were men of God that God used and they can get healed, and so they brought the sick from everywhere, even outside of Jerusalem, other places, and lined them down the road, the side of the road, the path where Peter might walk past, and the shadow of Peter might heal these people. Yeah, when the Bible mentioned it, obviously it happened. That God allowed that to be. A point of contact. Like the prayer cloth that was sent out later in the Bible and Book of Acts, as we read it later. You see. So now, with all the things that were happening, and you know, there's a lot of big news going on. CNN report about it. CNA report about it. BBC report about it. You know. And well, the news got around, so what happened, do you think? The news reaches this religious leader. Now it says here, in verse 17, the high priest rose up, and all those that were with him, those that were with him means those from the same religious faith as he, because he was the high priest, he was the leader. And they were, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. The Sadducees. Now, the high priest at that time was Caiaphas. Alright? And he was a Sadducee. Now, when we talk about the Sanhedrin court or council, there are the larger council and the lesser council. The 71 is the bigger one, bigger group. The 23 are the smaller group. Let me say that in Jerusalem, that in outside of Jerusalem, in other areas, they also have this little smaller Sanhedrin group, composed of 23 members. Why do you have such an odd number? Concerned in case when you cast a vote, you don't have an even number, right? So if you have 70, if you cast a vote, you 35-35, well, draw, no deal. So they always have an odd number, you say. So this Sadducee sect, the word sect, you find in your King James, so we get the word S-E-C-T, sect. Alright, this is an English word. It's from the King James Version. And I don't think that you can find in any other version this word change. I don't think that there is. But the word sect comes from the Greek word heresies. There's heresies. But of course we don't use it now, right? He is of this sect, that is of that sect. But we don't call it that heresies. Heresies, the Methodist heresy in the Presbyterian heresy. We don't call them that. But that's the actual word that was used in the Bible, heresies. The Greek word means heresies. Means people of a certain faith. Not of the original. Now, I mean, of course, here in the Bible we talk about, the Bible uses the words that Sadducees sect. So what is it comparing? Comparing to that which they have, the faith of the Old Testament saying that the word that came from the prophets of old, Moses and all that. Huh? But you know, after the children of Israel, they were made captive, went up there to Assyria, and the southern two tribes, the kingdom of Judah. Alright, and that is Judah and Benjamin. They were taken and they went up there to Babylon. So after they were in captivity for 70 years and so on, and they came back to Jerusalem, they lost. They were there for so many years. 70 years is a long time, huh? If you go into captivity in Babylon at the age of 40, and your children is, well, let's say you married at 20 years old, so, and you have a son, and your son gets, and he gets married at 23 years or so on. By the time your son comes out, you would have a grandson. Right? At least three generations. Grandfather, father, and father. Now, all the time that they were there in Babylon, what were they eating? They were slaves, they were captive. They were in captivity. So, you know, in that, you're in a foreign land. So, what do you think about the truth that they really possessed before they went into captivity? What happened to them? They get compromised. They begin to eat the Babylonian food and the Babylonian custom, and perhaps mix with the Babylonian god. See? And that is very true. You must understand that. Even when God called Abraham, his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, their family, they still kept idols. Think about it. So we see today, what do we have? In Catholicism, they believe in the Bible, they believe in the true God, yet they have idols. Right? The figurine of Jesus, or the Black Nazarene, or Mary, or Joseph. Last night I went with my brother Jimmy to visit my first half-sister. Her husband passed away. The husband Catholic, so she followed the husband. As Catholic. More or less, and then I know that she's not really a Catholic, really. So we went to the home, and on the side of the cupboard there was an altar. There was a picture of Mary and all the saints out there, and some candles. I have to tell her. So all this are not true. This is breaking the commandment of God. Of course she doesn't know things, she don't have the Bible, she don't believe anything. She's the husband was a guy, so she married him. And so she sort of followed him. And after I sort of explained to her something about the gospel, and he says, I believe, and yet I don't know how to believe. There's uncertainty in her. What is, because you ask me, is there heaven and hell? Well, And she was thinking about where the husband is right now, I guess. And I have to tell her that there is heaven and hell, but not the way that people are, Christianity are telling you. That when you die now, if you're a Christian, you go to hell and you're burning now in the fire. It's not true. Oh, there's purgatory. I said, there's no such a thing. And Mary is not a mother of God. How can God have a mother? Yeah, think about it. And of course, her mind must be a lot of things going on in the mind. And I was just watching a video the other day about the illusion of death. A 6-minute presentation. The illusion of death. And this man was presenting from what the data that he got from people who experienced near death experience, or whose spirit left the body. And he collected the information, of course. He was saying that when you die, everything is black out. You are at peace. You are sleeping. And you are one with the universe. There's nothing. And yet there's nothing, but there's something. I said, you think about it. There's nothing, there is something. What is nothing? What is nothing? What is nothing? Nothing. How do you quantify nothing? In mathematics, nothing is with a zero, right? And yet the zero is something. So what is nothing? And the presenter was interested, because I realized that no matter how you try to explain it, we exist, we are here, we are something, and we must come from something. But who is that something or someone? Interesting. Because the question was asked, before there was an universe, before there was anything, there was nothing. But what is nothing? Nothing is something. But think about it. Huh. And if life is such that when we live and die, And what's the meaning of life? And part of it was showing that, I think you probably have seen a man without the arm and without leg. I think he came to Singapore one time, and he walked, he was on a platform, and he was talking about he was a Christian. I mean, he's a Christian, he's still alive. Huh? And he was talking about it, he said, what's life on about? And yet without arms, I mean, his arm was just a little, huh? And yet his life is so full of joy for God, with God. He's full in love with God. No arm, no leg! What is life, I was talking about? What is life? God is trying to live today in reality with God. Huh. Because after this is gone, after when he passed over, you close your eyes and then he's gone, black. Your spirit drift to be in the presence of the Lord. It's a reality. It's not something that is fiction. And God has established all the signs in the universe on this earth, the thing that he has created, and even put that seal in the Word of God. And even science look at it, realize that this book cannot be written by man. God lies in simplicity. And here one of the sisters was saying, God is quite complex. I said, well, in a way, he defined the word complex. Simplicity in complexity. And that complexity in simplicity. Huh? Think about it. God is so big and yet so small that he can come and live with us. Oh. And you this sect, they form after they came by to Jerusalem. Well, you got all these Pharisees and this. Sadducees, they are the ones that do not believe in the resurrection. And what? Can you fathom that? I can't. You believe in a God, Yahweh, and yet you don't believe in a resurrection? And then when you die means you die. What else then? They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in spirit. And yet they believe in God. So now I'm here. If I'm a Sadducee, so I believe in God, then I don't believe in resurrection. So what do I want to worship God for? Because if I die, I'm dead. Just like people say, you die, you're nothing. That's it. You don't resurrect, you don't give account of your life in this earth. Huh. Well, that's what the Sadducees are like. And they were filled with indignation. There was so much against what was going on. Now, we call something a sect. Now, the people call us a sect. Okay, like a couple of years ago, I met 20 years ago or so now, I can't remember roughly, when a pharisaical Presbyterian man tried to get me into trouble with the law. So got his newspaper, he works in the Straits Times. He got one of his journalists to call me up and try to write an article about me. Because back then, about 30 years ago now, there were a lot of sect, a lot of cultic group that were in Singapore, and government cramped down on it. You know, so he doesn't like Branham, William Branham, no. So he began to try to get me involved with the law. Think about it. He calls a sect, of course. But you know the word sect now we use and the way we are. And I was asking this journalist or reporter who won to write an article. He collects on the books, sent a messenger boy to collect the books so that he could read it. I said, go and read it first before you write. A week later, he called me up, said, I'm sending the book back to you. I said, are you going to write an article? He said, no, I'm not going to write an article. But in terms of the fact that when he talked to me, interviewed with me, I asked him, are you a Christian? Well, if I still remember, he called himself the name Michael. I said, are you a Christian? He says, I am. I said, so what's your degree? I'm a Methodist. Well, you're a Methodist. Apparently he doesn't know his Bible. He calls himself Methodist, but I don't think he goes to church. Huh? So, what I said, okay, you are a Methodist. I said, I ask him, why do you call me a cult? So because you are not of the mainstream. I said, okay, so how do you define cult? According to the dictionary, he said,
A cult is a group of people who follow a charismatic leader who is not of the mainstream religion. Okay, that's the common definition. But now they have changed the definition, huh? Because everybody has their own view, not finding it. It's always like that. You understand? Huh? You know the Oxford Dictionary? If you read what was on the news lately, they add our Singlish word into it also. Okay, Jia Yu, add oil. There's an add oil into it. So become people use that, so add oil. Huh? Shiok also is inside. You know, but there are all kinds of words because the language expand. So I asked him, I said, okay, now that you define the cult is a group of people who follow a charismatic leader who is not of the mainstream religion. I said, okay. I said, you're a Methodist, okay. Who founded Methodism? Or who was the leader in Methodism? John Wesley. I said, good, John Wesley. But when John Wesley started his ministry, there was no Methodism. He came out and a group of people followed him. So he was a charismatic leader. The people were following that. There must be a Methodist cult then, right? I said, hey, are you there? Isn't it true? I said, yeah, I never thought of that. I said, the same thing when Jesus was on earth. The mainstream religion. Do you know who they are? He doesn't know. I have to give to him. Pharisees? You heard of it? Oh yeah, Pharisees. You heard about Sadducees? Okay. They're the mainstream. Jesus came along, he wasn't a bit down. So Jesus preached, and he got 12 disciples. And a few others that were added to him when he stopped preaching. So Jesus was a charismatic man, right? And the disciple was a small group that followed him, so he must be a cult, right? A Jesus cult. So is it not true? And then later on, now after Christianity exploded around the world, so it is no longer a cult. It's a mainstream religion. Like Methodism, it's not mainstream, so it's no longer a cult. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. Every denomination is a cult. Because someone started it. Someone started it. What do you get a Presbyterian church? Someone started, used the word Presbyterian because Presbyterian means the presbytery, the elders. Methodism, of course, they call Methodism because of the method, the way, the methodological that they were doing. A methodical approach. It's sometimes they're called Wesleyan. Right? The Carmelite, John. The Kabbalah, while we have the Baptist school. You see, they say, oh yeah, I never thought of that. So, well, I don't think you ever thought of that anyway. And that's how it is. So, today, when you use, so people use the word sect, they always think it's a small group. But when you become a big group, they call it denomination. Do you know that? How words are used. But when the Bible said the word sect of the Sadducees, how true that is. The heresies of the Sadducees, they worship Yahweh and say there's no resurrection. Isn't that a sect? Isn't that a heresy? And they were filled with indignation against the apostles. And they laid their hand, verse 18. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. Of course, by that time it was evening time. Common prison, you know? They treat them without respect. They treat them as criminals and throw them all into a common prison. Whether it's a murderer case or someone, or a cheating case, or molesting case, or whatever. And if there's a religious people here, they just put the apostles, put them all together. So that they could be dealt with in the morning. Religious, deal with religious problems. The political side, the political one. Oh. Okay now. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Now, but let me just ask a question. Why do the verse 17?
They were filled with indignation. These Sadducees, why are they so resentful? Huh? What are they so filled with resentment? Well, today, you see these extremists, jihadist people. I said this before. Every war on this earth is fought on religious ground. That's just one word, religious ground. But not religion. And my half-brother was telling me when I met him, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he was telling me there are two things in the world that cause us the problem in the world. Religion and races. I didn't have time to have a dialogue with him directly. I want to tell him, no, it's not religion, it's not racist. Racism is one thing. Talk about the thing is because of religion. The problem in the world today is ideology. In ideology, we have religion, of course. Take for example, you got this Muslim in the world today. Are all Muslims bad? Just because of some extreme Muslim who going through all that killing? I mean, I have never been a good Muslim. Right? I mean, you want to talk about Christianity? Go back to America. Learn the history there. Look at the moment. The leader even go and fight and kill, fight against the government. So, what causes the problem in the world? It's ideology. If I am a religious person in the religion, in the religious group, be it Christian, be it Hindu, be it Muslim, Buddhism, whatever. If I have a certain ideology in me, I will teach the kind of ideology that we are the supreme race. We are the one. That God give us the power of this. We must go and kill all those heretics. I still remember when I worked in a mental hospital, I have a Muslim friend of mine. And he prayed five times a day, as I said, and after he prayed five times, he comes out after a while, all the foul words come out from his mouth. I mean, that is his life. And one day I asked him, very frankly, he goes to study in the mosque. I said, what do you learn? What is your faith? What is your understanding? I said, I'm a Christian. According to what you will be learning, not learning right, if there's no law in the government here that protects me, you will kill me, right? Because you will be considered a heretic. He said, yes, I will kill you. That's not why the Bible as well as the Quran. It's how you interpret it. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
It's how a man come and interpret it. I can take the Bible and show you that we must go and kill everybody. Is that the truth? I can take that. But because you don't even know what the Bible is saying. The same thing with any religious book. So you get a man that rises up and says, we go and kill others in the name of our God. Whether in the name of Allah, Yahweh, of Jesus Christ, or whatever. That's what we call extremism. Their ideology is not a religion. So if you have Christians that live peacefully, have a balance in scripture, if you have the Muslims, they are taught balance in the Quran, or the Hindu, they are taught what they were supposed to, because the Bible tells us every religion is good. Even to visit the fatherless, okay? Or the sick in the hospital. That's true religion. Because you care for humanity. But the ideology is terrible. Even in humanity, some people who practice humanity, if he got a cater in the head here, he said, everybody who is sick, kill them. Because they are wasting energy in the world, they are wasting food in the world. They are not productive. They're lying in bed. They're hopeless. Kill them. Every child that is born autistic, they are nuisance. They yell, you know, kill them. You know what I'm saying? That kind of ideology. It's not about the race. Of course, unless like you have the Ku Klux Klan in America, right? The white race, supreme race. They will hit out at all the blacks. If only they know when they need blood, the black man can give the blood to them too. The Bible tells us we're all the blood are the same in the world. Every one of us, we came from one source. When? Noah's blood and his wife. Not of Adam, but of Noah. Because it's after the flood, that's what happened. Only that we have A group, B group, plus group, and all this only because of the racist factor and all that thing. All right, but otherwise, the white can take, if you are your blood, whatever your blood you have, you can, as a white person, you can give it to a black who can receive it. Or to a yellow man. Or to a red Indian. So we have this resentment against this apostle because they are doing good, healing the sick, preaching the truth. They are against it. You know why? Why were Caiaphas and the Sadducees against them? Why? Come on! It's not because they were healing the sick. Not because the apostle healing the sick. There was something that the apostle taught. That's why they want to put him in jail and condemn them. What was it? Because they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Sadducees, they do not believe in the resurrection. If the apostles don't preach about the resurrection, they couldn't kill us. But because they were the one in control at that time, you know, the high priest could be a Pharisee, or could be a Sadducee, or could be anyone who was not of this sect. As long as there's some kind of identification, that he could be a high priest. What happened that Caiaphas was a Sadducee and he was a high priest at that time. And anyone that preaches resurrection, we don't agree. And you know today, that's why we have religious faction. In Christianity, there's still a lot of war going on among the different groups. But yet, now, since the last 1948 started, when the World Council of Churches went up, they tried to unite everybody together. He said, just put away the differences. Let's just believe the Bible in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That's simple as that. Well, let's go to the book of Acts 23, verse 6. And we'll read from here so to understand. Brother John, can you read that? Acts 23, verse 6.
But perceiving that one group of Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, "Brother, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead." As he said this, occurred a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, not an angel or spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all.
Right. So it means that, you know, as I said, there could be anyone could be a high priest, whether it's a Pharisee or a Sadducee. So in the time of Paul, that's how Paul saw that there was division, he used that to his advantage. You know. So here we have these Pharisees now, they were in control of the council. Alright? And as I said last week, they were rich people, they were social. They have got social standing among the people in general. Right. And they dislike anyone that challenge their faith. Anyone that speak openly, you know, contrary to their faith, they don't like it. And of course, particularly even today, in the end time message that we have, Lot of people doesn't like what I said when I present the truth. They call me a heretic. That's alright. What the copied or heretic? What is a heretic? Yeah, sure. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Now let's go on. So the angel came by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth, and said to them, go home, hide. Sounds like it. Huh? Verse 19 and 20. Did the angel told them to go run and hide? Rather, the angel told them, the angel of the Lord told them, go stand and speak in the temple. And we do not know whether this angel of the Lord was Christ himself appearing in pure in a vision to them, or was it just an ordinary angel. So the angel of the Lord. The Bible said, of course in the Bible it said, the angel of the Lord, but sometimes can be used, the word there is not there, it's just sometimes it says an angel of the Lord. Alright, so they told them to go and stand and speak in the temple to all, to the people, all the word of this life. Now that's it, assuming that you are charged by some religious people and God, you know, by some miracle brought you out, what would you do? You probably run home and go home and hide anymore. Or would you go and speak? Now, but perhaps, I don't know what goes through the mind of Peter and John and all these apostles. What? They keep on throwing us in prison, you know. But among all these hooligans and all these gangsters and these criminals, low-life people, and you know, and we are mixing with them. So anyway, the angel told them that, and they did. Verse 21, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. Ah, they go out there early in the morning. And taught. But the high priest came, and there they were with him, and called a council together, the Sanhedrin, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found me shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the door. But when we had opened it, we found no man within. Now that's some bad news for them. The door was opened by the angel of the Lord, and Peter came out. Apparently the prison guy got somehow, you know, the angel beat them to sleep somehow, and the apostle left, the door was locked. No, they didn't know that they were, that the apostle was not in prison. So when this was said to them, of course you'll be surprised how they react. Alright. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard this thing, they doubt of themselves whereunto this would grow. They were in perplexity. He says, what is this going to lead to now? What is going on? We have them in the prison, and now they went to collect them. Nobody was there in the prison. You know, these officers, they were actually the people of the council. They were the god of the temple. They went there and they said, no. The prison guard was outside. The door was locked. But if we went in, they were not there. Now that's why the high priest and the Senate and all those in the Sanhedrin, they were just wondering what's going to happen now. What is it going to lead to? They had this perplexity of the supernatural. Something is happening. Alright. And then came one and told them, saying, behold the men whom we put in prison, they are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Well, of course, we have the apostles standing there in the temple, going to start preaching and all that. The people are wanting to hear more and hear the captain and the officer to come and arrest Peter, James, and John, and all those apostles. They, of course, try to just plead with them. They will not use force because the people are there. They will take stone and throw. And this is what happened. You know, taking stone and throw is quite common in the Middle East. You know this one thing? In America, they don't. They take gun and shoot.
Right. But I don't know what is being done over this part, over the two sticks. So they might come to, but in that it's already common about throwing stones. And so verse 27, and when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Wow. See, this, of course, the high priest speaks with much authority, right? Because he's the high priest. Didn't we command you not to preach in the name of this man? Of course, this man, he doesn't want to mention the name. Because I think they hate the name. That's Jesus, of course. But you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, and in time to bring this man's blood upon us. Of course, they know that they are guilty. Because Peter already told them, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, this one whom you have hanged upon the tree. Think about it, now. But I do not know how God dealt with this man, Caiaphas. Not like King Herod, you know, when he was troubled after John's issue, he was troubled. If you are a man of good conscience, when anything you have done wrong, you will dig into you, right? You all know that. Yeah. Go out there, go to the department store. What did you like? Maybe some special kind of branded good thing that you want but you cannot afford it, or you don't want to pay for it. And you go around and you steal it, you know. And you go home. And you look at it, ooh, I got this free of charge. But if you are a man without conscience, this doesn't bother you. But if you are a man of conscience, oh my goodness, I stole this. Huh? Think about this whole thing. Or even when you pay for your grocery, you give $50 and the thing that you are supposed to pay for was $24, the change should be $26, but when you got the sum back, you got $28, you got $4 extra. You come in, hi, go home, I got $4 for a cup of coffee, good coffee, Starbucks. So does it not bother your mind? Huh. But when you are shortchanged by 20 cents, excuse me, 20 cents less. Huh. You see how human beings are like this? But now, you know, it doesn't, for me, when I check the chain, of course, that should always be back. I mean, we have to because it doesn't belong to us. You know. Oh, well, just at the other time, a month ago, a Filipino lady came up to me in the bus stop, was in panic. She was looking at the bus number. I said, you lost? No, I lost my wallet, my credit card, my money, everything is inside. You know, the bus number. He took the bus and then sat there looking at his phone, her phone, apparently because the phone was in her hand, and put the wallet on the seat and drop off the bus. And a little later on, she realized the wallet was not with her. And who do you think people will pick up in the bus? And I told her, I said, the only thing is that you go to the bus, let me know, find out. Hopefully that some honest guy will pick it up and give it back to the captain and bring it to the terminal. They can go and get it, collect it. Otherwise, I don't. When you lost things, you panic. Especially your wallet. Your IC, everything there, right? Valuable thing there. How do you feel? The whole day you can't sleep and you're just praying, oh, someone be honest enough to give it back to me, please. But nobody return it. But when somebody return it, you're happy. Right. Now, let's continue here.
We understand that Sadducees here, they're guilty. Because Caiaphas was the one that judged Christ. Remember? Okay. And he always referred to Christ as this man, blood. Now today it's just about the same. I mean, I can only speak for myself for what is happening. When I speak the truth about what God has given to us through Brother Branham to bring us back to the Word. And then we are not supposed to just stay in the shop. We move forward, continue. We move from glory to glory, as Paul said. Now the gospel and the revelation did not finish with Paul. John had extra. Even as Bob Graham said, God, give to me what he wants me to preach. What he doesn't want me to preach, he gives somebody else. He actually said that. Exactly. God gives to Peter to preach what Peter ought to preach. He gives to John what he ought to preach. He gives to Paul what he ought to preach. But yet we have all this confusion. Oh, Brother Branham, sir. You know, he just asked me, he said, I preach what Paul preached. Of course he preached what Paul preached. I also preach what Paul preached. I also preach what Peter preached. But what I'm trying to say is that Paul had all the revelation and Brother Branham preached all the revelation. It's finished. And I asked the preacher, I said, what about what John? John had the revelation Paul never had. Oh no. Paul actually had what John had. It's not in his message, in his epistle. Really? Huh? And if you look at what John talked about, the Holy City, New Jerusalem, Paul talked about it. How did he talk about it? The detail that were there, the four horsemen, did Paul talk about it? You see, that's a problem. And that's why people are so much being disliked. They call me heretics. Truth is not taken the way it should be. They take it very lightly. And I always wonder, the Bible said, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Not even one dot, one tittle, huh? Of course, we don't have it in English. I said one dot, or a cross, of course, a T. In Hebrew, you have this tittle. You see, the thing is this. The emphasis of God's word is that it must be fulfilled. His will and His word must be fulfilled. That's what Peter was told by the angel. Go and preach them and teach them all the word of this life. Can you limit God? Can you say, oh, I know everything already? I don't know everything. Even when Jesus was on earth, he didn't say he knows everything. He said, whatever the Father do, you know, let him do it. Because I don't know everything. When I'm coming back, I don't know. Whether James and John will sit on which side of my, or me, I don't know. It's not to the Father now. As far as human is concerned, there is a limitation. But once you go over to the other side, there is no limitation. Sure. Because why? Right now, I'm still a human body. But the day every one of us are transformed and likened unto the body of Jesus Christ and become part of that supernatural, spiritual body, there's no limitation. What Christ can do, you can do. Huh? But the thing is, remember one thing. Christ could not do anything outside the will of God. Neither can we do anything outside the will of God. As in America, we have children that play with rattlesnake. You know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah, there are children that stop back there and they, wow, you got some crazy preacher and said, "Oh my, Mark 16:16. If you eat anything late, if you take anything daily, it will not hurt you. Remember, the stick that by you will not kill you." So they put a box of rattlesnake in their pipe, a Bible is a rattlesnake. And the congregation will worship. And then they will must confess their sin. And then they will go around, every one of them, go and get a snake. So they said, "Don't bite them." "Oh, the brother and the sister is so holy. If the snake bit them and they die, that brother and sister have committed sin, secret sin." Yep, I once saw they were written based on facts. That this man who wrote it on the wall of the church, there are photographs of all those that died. "Oh, you mean you don't get bitten by brothers when you play with it?" Of course some don't, because they know how to do it. You want to play with snake, they don't get struck. Move in the rhythm as a snake move. Go there and just move like this. And you mesmerize the cobra, the pipe viper, or the rattlesnake. Yeah, that's why you see there's people who catch snake, they will always move. So the snake will move. And grab him. Say, "I'm not bitten." Of course, foolish people doesn't know, go down there, snake. "Yeah, I'm a child of God, I'm holy, let me prove it to you." Grab him, die. Oh, he dies. You know, we have all this fanaticism in the world. Don't you know? Oh, fire walking. Yeah, you know. Fire, yeah, they're not walking, they're running. Do you know what happened? There was a case, it was well documented. Missionary went to Africa. And they have fire walking too, but actually run. He was in the village, ministering. He was there. And of course, this pagan, you know, they told him, he said, "Come on, you've got Israel. You should be able to walk on the wall, fire." You know, and he prayed, because his faith was being tested right there. And people were watching. The converts were down. And he prayed, said, "Lord, do whatever you want me to do." And the Lord told him to walk. And he took his Bible, he walked on charcoal fire. They not only walked there, he stand there. He stood there and he preached the gospel of the Bible. The fire didn't touch him. Remember the three men in the furnace of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? But don't go and be foolish. Now what is going on out there in Singapore on some of these festivals? "Oh, I can do that." You try and walk on it. If God is not with you, don't do no nonsense. Or take poison. You know, Paul picked up a snake on the beach, right? But it was a snake. He didn't know it. It was a snake. So he picked it up and he was bitten by the snake, right? And then he just took it and threw it on fire. It was a poisonous snake, but no harm came to him. Because he was a miserable guy. That's one thing about it, what God had done for me when I was on mission field, when I went to India and all these Africa. Bad places. Food was bad. Dirty building, all these things. And God kept me all this until I come back. After I came back, then I had all this packing of all this thick for my, you know, all those rubbish, the air and all the things that burning inside me. But God kept me all those times. Because if I was on the mission field, God had to kill me. But I'm not going down there to try to demonstrate, try to be a magician. God's not in it, don't. You make sure that God is with you. Then Peter, alright, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Wow. We ought to obey God rather than men. So now, the people out there are telling to me, "Brother, can you sit? Please accept what the Bible, what Abraham said." Say what Abraham said. Say it and don't say anything else. But I told him I have to say what the Bible said. But you are not a prophet. How do you know? Because I'm called into the apostolic ministry. I'm just told them that. I'm
know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. I do it. You cannot tell me what to do. Do I obey you or do I obey God? Huh? I'm confident because I know God dealt with me. I'm going to stand before Him and give Him an account for all that I preached. And I ask them, are you really called of God to preach? And quoting Brother Abraham and bring out all sorts of strange doctrines. Yeah. In the days of the early church, this thing happened also. So who do we obey? God or man? That's the reason why, as I said, if you obey, have fellowship here in Singapore, everybody is coming, there's peace, right? But let's say we are worshipping somewhere in the land where people don't like Christian. And the door is burst open by two or three fanatic with a para, with a machete. One with a gun. Don't any of you move? What kind of gathering is this? Christian gathering, huh? If you're a Christian, you stay. If you're not Christian, you go. What would you do? Whoa, that's a machete in my head, it's going to come out. And news has been going around, like in India. They harassed a lot of Christians, they beat a lot of Christians, they even killed Christians. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So if you are not a Christian, you can go home. Because you are going to kill Christians. But if you are a Christian, if you say now that you don't want to be a Christian, you also can go. The moment you ever say, I'm not a Christian, you deny Christ before them, foolish people, Christ will deny you before God. So what? I have seen pictures, video, until I'm sick of it. I download a whole lot in banned site. Video, somebody give me this thing, I went there. It's all about what? Cutting a head. Literally. I told him, I just use like a samurai sword, cut off the head. No. Use this blade. Cut off the head and saw. And pick up the head. I saw a few after that, I got so sick. Oh, wow. And the man just lay there with the hand bound behind the back and just lay the saw. And just go. Gone. And I was thinking all the time in that city, I said, what about those days, in the days of the Roman Empire? When lions and bears were let loose in the arena to the enjoyment and entertainment of this, what do you call this, mad Roman people. They just enjoy the bear, the lion, the tiger coming into the arena and ripped up children, men and women, before their eyes. That's because they are Christian. And what do they worship the Romans? Ashtar, Diana, Jupiter. And the parents, the family with them. These are true cases in history. They never denied their faith. How do you think? I was only what's going on in my mind. I said, wow! If I'm a parent, I'm a father, and my little ones are here with me. And the lion are let loose to rip us apart. What would you do? Faith. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. Here in Singapore, you've got a comfort of life. As Brother Nye said, Brother Gan, you people are in the millennium. We in Nigeria are still far behind. Here you have everything. Down there the faith suffer a lot too. Water, electricity and blood, problem, unrest. Go to Somalia. Go to Yemen. Go to Congo. Some of these places are bad. Now in Cameroon, the French-speaking Cameroonians are against those who speak English. And they are burning out churches in those areas where they are English speaking. What's the problem with people?
So you're going to deny your faith. When time comes, close your eyes and let it go. Yeah. True. And so the time comes when you are sick, really sick. Without the cancer, you're going to breathe the life breath. Go in peace. Don't struggle. Life. Live it and let go. As you say, live and let live. When God wants you to go, go home. And the apostles are willing to say, we're going to obey God, not man. They know that they might be in the hand of these people who are going to take their life. And the angel told them, go and stand in the temple and preach. Verse 30. The God of our father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. I think Peter is poking more fire. Peter is heaping more fire on them. Right? Right. Because after all, Caiaphas already said, why do you teach in this man's name when we tell you not to teach in this man's name and this man's doctrine? Peter stood up there and told them, whom the Father of God raised up, Jesus Christ, whom you, apparently I think he popped up his finger at him. You! Simple, huh? If I point my finger at every one of you here, do you know that you, every one of you here, we all are guilty of the Lord of Jesus Christ also. Because we're all born sinners. Because, but we didn't kill him. Well, in a sense, it's true. But we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to give us life. Isn't it? Him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses. Again, this is repeated. We are his witnesses. I only tell you this. Because that's what makes the whole thing true. How people said, how do you know the Bible is true? How do you know the Bible is God's word? Because every other religion also can say the same. But the fact is, there are witnesses to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of his ministry. And that's why the 12 can testify to it. But today there are a lot of things that cannot be testified. A lot of claims they are not true. Especially today, the fake news. Someone, a brother, sent me that the news about Catholic Church, the Pope wanted to rewrite the Bible. I thought on what was true. The brother sent me. I thought I relied on him. But the moment he sent it, and brother came in, sent it to me, he said, there's a fake news on snow. And then somebody there comment, well, that's what all the time the Catholic Church has not been using the Bible anyway. They never really preached the Bible. And so today all the news, how do you look at the news? How do we see what is true, what is not true? And we are his witnesses of this thing. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them to obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Wow. You see this? Why are they like that? Because they are extremists. That's why I said this. Extremists are often violent people and very abusive. I remember back in those days, and it was in the 80s, when a brother came from Nigeria over to Singapore and he went by. And that was because of my teaching. And there was also an argument over teaching. What happened? Well, there was a split in the church. So, those Australian church left the school. You know, what happened one day, there was such a confrontation, I don't know. And he showed me some photograph and sent it to me. That they were fighting in the street. Think about it. And the brother was showing me photographs. He said, they threw stone at us. a true stone. Yeah. When I was there in Nigeria, there was this minister from Canada confronted me right at the table. He's sitting across me, his wife went on his right hand side, and the brother who was near me was on my right here. We were eating, because it was a long table, we were not sitting close together, we were sitting at a separate table. You think about it. And he asked me, after we said grace to eat, the first question he asked me, I want to ask you, brother, again, what is it that you're preaching this morning? When my time comes, I'm going to tear it apart. Wow! You don't believe the brother Branham has revealed all mystery? I said, no. What do you mean, no? He said, okay, brother Branham revealed all mystery. I just give you an understanding. What was the mystery of the mark of Cain? What was the mystery regarding the holy city, New Jerusalem? What kind of city it really is? What about Babel, Ezekiel 38, 39? The problem revealed this. I look at him, and his wife look at him. I look at his wife, foreign woman. He said, just give me an understanding. The problem mentioned about the mark of Cain. What was the mark that God put on Cain? I just stopped looking at him. Keep looking at him. And he was very awkward looking at his wife and, you know, this one just looking. Then he said to me, well, I believe everything, Robin revealed everything already. It's all revealed. I said, it's up to you to believe whatever you want to. I wonder what happened to this man today. In that same year, in that same few weeks, when I crossed over the Ghana, the same thing happened. Two men. You can see that on the website, I posted the picture there. The same thing that they do. They like to, you know, when you think that you are smart, you do this. Tell me. You know the kind of action? What is it that you separate again? Those two men in the picture are no longer around. No longer around. They're no longer the message. Just a couple of months ago, or last year, I can't remember now. There was a brother who had been a correspondent with me. He was sending me a message for some time. Then he wrote me an email. But again, I don't want to believe anymore. He said, I cannot believe Abraham anymore. I cannot trust his word anymore. Because there are too many confusion, too much confusion, too many discrepancies. I said to him, brother, you don't have to believe Brother Abraham. All you have to do is you believe, make sure that your revelation line up with the Word of God. I said, why do you always talk about Brother Ben so much now? Because he went onto the Believe the Sign website and followed the man. Why are you picking up human error in speech? That's his own word. He that have a ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God say to the churches. Not he that have a ear, let him hear what Brother Branham said. Hey, Branham up there, listen to me. But Jesus cursed the Pharisees. By your own tradition, you make the word of God no effect. You preach for doctrine, the tradition of man, and you make the word of God no effect. And there are people out there, what do you preach? Oh, we preach for Brother Abraham. I said, really? Or is it because somebody teaches that nonsense, the problem is coming back again? He's going to raise from the dead. And he's going to fly the plane around the world for about 40 days. People have been teaching that. Two souls. Thunder has been revealed. All mysteries are revealed. Burdens are heretic. If you only know, my brother and sister out there, if you only know what Matthew 25 talks about,
only know, Matthew 25, who those foolish virgins are. Think about it. And we are living in the serious hours. And yet the coming heretics, fine, like the one over there in the WhatsApp chat. There are many more. I mean, they're out there in the forum. Forum side. I don't want to go over there. They argue, you know, then they argue till the cow comes home. And they still continue to argue the next morning. No wonder when you are extreme. When you are in the extreme, you hate those people who are not, who say things that you don't like, or whose teaching is not what you want to hear. That's why I say, if you don't like what I teach, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Simple as that. Huh? Isn't it? Why are the people not leaving Brother Bam alone out there in the denomination? There are some that expose. I went to one website. Wow, this guy says all kinds of things about Brother Bam, which is not even true. Because they are saying, somebody are asking, what about the signs and wonders, the discernment of secrets of man? Oh, so don't you know? Even the devil can do it. Just make a statement like that. Don't say no! How to discern the truth from that which is false? That's why between the truth and error, there is only a thin breath, hairline, huh? The breath of the hairline. They stood there, then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. Well, he's a lawyer, as you say, but the doctor of the law means that he's educated in the law of the Bible and all that. Had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Now, yes, Gamaliel, well-known person, very well liked by people, good reputation among the people, they will listen to him. And he was a Pharisee. Huh? He was Paul's teacher. Remember that? Apostle Paul's teacher. So, okay. Now what? Listen to me. Put this apostle on side. Let them go somewhere. Let us discuss this privately. And he said unto them, you men of Israel. I mean, the Sanhedrin, the other elders, they were there. You men of Israel, take heed to yourself. What you intended to do has touching this man. For before these days, rose up Tidius, boasting himself to be somebody to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Now, we don't know who Tidius was, because then it's quite a common name as well, but in Josephus' record, in history record, well, there was one who had like a few hundred people, you know, against the Roman, but they were all killed by the Roman. But that was 10 years ahead of this time. It was in 45 AD. You see, so it could not be. So we do not know what Tidius, there have been a lot. In fact, according to Josephus' record, 10,000 tumults, 10,000 uprising, or, you know, people who protest in Judea. 10,000. So, you don't know the name of so many names. So, Gamaliel was telling them, just leave this man alone, or else you'll be fighting against God. Alright? So, he says here, and after this man, after 30 days, rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew people away, much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. There was an okay he referred to. Then there is, I then I say unto you, refrain from this man. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to nothing. True, right?
Yeah.
But if this be of God, we cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not preach in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house,
They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
So, you don't preach anymore, okay?
You beat them up, I don't know how many stripes. Go. They're happy, they go back. But they come back again a few other days and stop preaching.
You cannot stop the voice of God.
You can't. Like many of us trying to say, well, no, you know, that's why I said, but Gamaliel says it's true. If these men are not of God, you'll come to nothing. But if it is of God, you're fighting God. So I told the people, leave me alone if you don't agree with me. Because this message God has given me is true, to bring the people to get the people lined up with the word. That's what Brahma was trying to get yourself lined up with the word. Get Joshua. Moses told Joshua, right? Or God told Joshua. Not Moses is dead. Whatever you have received from Moses, hold on to it, and I will show you how to cross over. When you get over there, you know what to do. Right? So they went over there and promised them. What did he do after that? He sat down and he divided the land. When we come back here, Joshua's ministry is to divide the word of God. As Paul said, rightly dividing the word of God. Rightly divide means cut accordingly to the pattern that God showed to you, as you were told Moses on the mount. Build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I show you on the mount. So I pray that you understand. God's working with the children of Israel, the church in that time. Many of them were all Jews. Those are proselytes from the Gentile to Jewish faith. They were converted Christian. And there were a lot of religious people as well. They were converted. So we understand what God is doing then. Then let us see how God is working with us at this time as well. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace, for thy word. We ask that, Lord, you continue to bless us now. And let the word, O Father, Lord, be living in our hearts, in our spirit, O Lord, in our life, daily, O Father. And to perform that which you want us to do. And that the manifestation of the life of the word of Jesus Christ is in our life, that we be worthy of the gospel of Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you bless now, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.